Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. And right now, as we do each and every week, Pat, we're going to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week here, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number one, Patrick. Dateline Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is not good news. PGA Tour winner and rising star Dustin Johnson was arrested last Monday and charged with driving under the influence in South Carolina, police said. Johnson won the AT&T Pebble Beach National Pro-Am this past February. It was his second PGA Tour victory in 5 months. He was booked into the J. Long Detention Center on Monday and released 22 minutes later, according to the facility's website. Pat, he's got quite a checkered past. If you read further in this article, he's been arrested before. This is not his first time in getting into hot water with the law. Your thoughts?
Well, how old is Dustin?
25.
I think there was a study that I remember watching or reading about that basically said until you're 25, you do crazy things. Like you know, it's after the age of 25 that your brain starts settling in maturity or whatever, and you start realize you have a much better comprehension of how your actions can impact the way you're viewed and things like that. So Dustin's right on that cut line now. So hopefully this time next year he won't be driving around drunk. Here's my quick thoughts on it. Obviously, I think the guy knows that he made a mistake. I think he made the standard issue of contrition afterwards, saying that he's sorry, he did it and blah blah blah. You mentioned his checkered past as a teenager. He was running around with some guys that one of the guys had a gun and I think ended up killing somebody.
Right.
So obviously not running with the best of crowds. Again, problems with judgment in his teens. This is something that happens to a lot of people. Unfortunately, a lot of people think that that they can drive after a couple drinks or whatever, and don't recognize the impairment that they're actually under. Dustin again. I keep calling him Justin. my guy Justin Leonard.
Justin Dawson.
But Dustin, I think falls into this category. Will he learn from this? I'm not going to bring everything down on the guy right now. He has made a mistake. He got lucky and didn't kill himself or kill somebody else while driving around drunk. Hopefully he will learn from it and move on. The thing I keep getting back to is he's won a couple times, I think,
twice,
on the PGA Tour.
Twice on the PGA Tour, including this year's Pebble Beach in February.
So he's accumulating some money. He's accumulating some notoriety. He has to understand that there are responsibilities that go with that, and he's not just affecting himself. He's affecting potential family members with his behavior, and I'm willing to give him essentially give him another chance. But I'll tell you, another drunk driving or something, and he's on the John Daly road with me.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we're used to seeing this kind of stuff out of John Daly. I don't want to sound elitist, but for the most part on the PGA Tour, you don't hear a lot of stories like this. It's not because the guys are that much better than the NBA players or the NFL players or Major League Baseball. It's just that, the way they comport themselves, they're expected to kind of, that's the way the sport has been created. You call penalties on yourself. So we're not used to seeing this kind of news from PGA Tour players, especially high-ranking ones like Dustin. He's 40th in the World Golf Rankings, and he's 9th this year in the FedEx Cup standings, thanks to his win at Pebble Beach. Now, you mentioned his brushes with the law in the past, and you talked about it. In 2001, Johnson was among 5 teens involved in a burglary in which one of them took a gun. According to court documents, Johnson was then persuaded to buy bullets for the gun by a friend. That friend, Steve Gillian, was later charged with murder after shooting the victim multiple times in the head. So, I mean, this is serious, serious stuff. As for Johnson, he said, quote, "I made an error in judgment that I deeply regret. I have let myself down and others who support me. I am handling the matter privately, and rest assured I will definitely learn from my mistake," end quote.
Well, we will see about that, Russ.
I hope so. I hope for his sake.
I do, too. Number two goes to you, Russ, on a much lighter note. Golf Digest has come out with their annual rankings of the America's top 100 greatest golf courses for 2009, 2010. And really not much changed in the top 10, except at the top three, where pretty much they were shuffled around. Augusta National, Pine Valley, and Shinnecock have held down the top three for a number of years now. The only sort of surprising thing is that Augusta went from 3-1, overtaking Pine Valley, which is now number two, and Shinnecock dropped from 2-3. Your thoughts on the rankings?
I think this is right on, Pat. Now, I've never played any of these courses, so I can't say which is better than which. I've never played Augusta, I've never played at Shinnecock, and I've never played at Pine Valley. Those are all three of those are on my bucket list.
Your to-do list.
To be sure. But I think this is right on, because when you think about one iconic, and when you're getting to this point, top three in the country, you're basically splitting hairs, are you not? I mean, Augusta National, Pine Valley, Shinnecock, they're all world-class venues. I would give an arm and a leg to play on any of them, much like all the courses in the top 10, Pebble Beach, Oakmont, Seminole, right here in our backyard in South Florida. So when you're getting to the top of the list, you're really splitting hairs. And I think Augusta National has the, you know, they really have the intangibles that make them the number one course in the country. And I think it's mostly about the Masters. This is the venue for the Masters tournament. This is the only course in the world that hosts a major every single year. And there's no doubt that it's the most recognizable course and probably the prettiest course in the country. And I think it definitely deserves to be number one. I think that this is the rightful place for Augusta National.
Yeah, I'm like you. Unlike you, I have had an opportunity, the luck really, to play a bunch of these courses in the top 10, but I have not played Augusta and haven't played Shinnecock. But with that said, like you're saying, you're splitting hairs when you get into the top five. Most of these courses have been in this position for a long time, and like they did this year, they just kind of bounce around from 1 to 5 to 4 to 2 or whatever it is. And I don't understand how they differentiate once you get to that level. You know, what makes one course number one and another one number two? But at the same time, you know, talking about Augusta, I've been there. I haven't played it. I know you've been there also. You were there last year.
I was there last year.
It's spectacular. Awesome. It's just a, you know, and Augusta's not the best town in America. I mean, it's kind of one of those typical honky-tonk, you know, fast food, everything's there. But then you get to Augusta, and it's like a Shangri-La. It's like you go through those gates, and you're in a different world. Same thing with Pine Valley. Pine Valley's, you know, not in the best of towns in New Jersey. But, again, you drive over railroad tracks and you get through the front gates, and it's like you're in a different world. So Augusta hosting something every year on the Masters Tournament, a major, the public gets to see it through TV, and maybe that plays a little bit into it. But, you know, this time of year, with everything blooming in spring and, you know, golf's first major, that might have factored into why it got number one.
All right, and just for the record, going to give you the top 10 right now. Golf Digest, top 100 courses in the U.S., and the rankings just came out a couple of days ago. It's the rankings for 2009 and 2010. They do it on a two-year period. So the last rankings that came out, it was 2 years ago, 2007, and those rankings were for 07, 08. So the new list is out, as we mentioned. Number one, Augusta National in Augusta, Georgia. Number two is Pine Valley Golf Club in Pine Valley, New Jersey, really southern New Jersey.
Just like Clementon, New Jersey, yeah. It's close to Philadelphia.
Exactly.
Actually.
It's a hop, skip, and a jump from Philly. Number three is Shinnecock Hills in Southampton, New York. Number four, Cypress Point Golf Club in Pebble Beach, California. Number five is Oakmont Country Club in Pittsburgh, and I know you've played there a bunch of times, Pat. And I think you've said, of all the courses you've played, and you played a bunch of these in the top 100, Oakmont is the toughest.
Yeah, nothing even close, to tell you the truth. Oakmont is the hardest golf course I've ever played.
Pebble Beach Golf Links, number six. Of course, that's an iconic course out there on the West Coast. Marion Golf Club in Ardmore, Pennsylvania, which is another Philly area club, is number seven. Winged Foot Golf Club in Mamaroneck, New York, is number eight. Fisher's Island Club is moving up. They were 16th last year. Fisher's Island Club in Fisher's Island, New York. It was 16th on last year's list. It moved up seven spots to get in the top 10 at number nine. And then Seminole Golf Club right here in Juneau Beach, Florida. Seminole Golf Club dropping one spot from 9 to 10. So that is your top 10 list in the top 100 list. Golf Digest, America's 100 greatest golf courses for 2009 and 2010.
But my favorite golf course, Pebble Beach, Russ.
Okay. We will definitely let the people at Golf Digest know, Pat. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. We are entrenched in our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. We do it each and every week here discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number three, Patrick, speaking about the Masters, Davis Love III, he is in a position this week where he needs to win today at the Shell Houston Open, or he's not playing in Augusta next week. His chances for qualifying for the Masters by being in the top 50 of the world rankings were destroyed last week when he missed the cut at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Now, Davis Love III began the week ranked 47th. He began last week in Orlando at Bay Hill at the Arnold Palmer, ranked 47th in the world. He missed the cut at the Arnold Palmer. The missed cut, well, playing in the Arnold Palmer added one tournament to his divisor. So his divisor for his world ranking, the number went up by one because he played in the event. By missing the cut, the numerator on the top of his world ranking didn't change. So his world ranking went from 47 to 50 because his divider was increased and his numerator didn't do anything because he missed a cut. So it dropped his world ranking from 47 to 51. Had Davis Love not even teed it up at Bay Hill last week, he would have stayed in the top 50 in the world rankings. He would be in the Masters next week. Pat, your thoughts about the way we do the world rankings?
Well, it's scary that you know what numerator means, Russ. I have no idea. I remember that's all that stuff I purposely forgot from grade school. But I know you're an ex-architect, so all that stuff.
Yeah,
you're ingrained with that. You can't get away from it.
It's all bouncing around in my noggin somewhere. Sometimes I'm able to capture it and use it.
But here's the thing. I think that I got to give Davis Love a lot of credit because, number one, he probably could have gambled and not entered the tournament, and obviously he would have stayed in the top 50 the way things shook out. But he didn't know that. So he decided to take things in his own hands and play the tournament himself to try to further better his ranking, which, you know, if it's going to come down to it, he could have not entered the tournament, somebody played better than him, and then bounced him out, and he didn't even play. So I give him credit for playing. I don't know what his record is at Bay Hill. I know he's never won it, but I don't know how well he does there, so I don't know if that's a good course for him or not. But nonetheless, the fact that he entered, I think you got to give him credit for that, because he knew either way, if he doesn't enter, there's a chance that somebody overtakes him, and then it's out of his control because he didn't even try to play. Also, he could have played, which he did, and then played poorly, which he did, and then hurt himself, which all ended up happening. But I'd rather see a guy take it into his own hands and say, you know what, I'm going to try and play in the tournament myself to further my standings, rather than rely on other guys to play poorly and help me secure the ranking. So I think Davis Love, everything's 2020. You can look back on it and say you shouldn't have entered it and you would have been in the Masters. But I applaud him for going forward and trying rather than rely on other people to play poorly.
I agree, Pat. I give Davis Love III a lot of credit for playing. I think that there's a problem here when a guy can benefit better from not playing at all versus playing and missing a cut. I think we've got a problem with the world rankings, and I think hopefully we remedy that in the future.
Well, just think of how much criticism he would have come under if
Absolutely.
He didn't play.
Absolutely.
And guys jumped ahead of him. We would have been all over him. All right, Russ, number four goes to you. Michelle Wee, who we talked a little bit about earlier in the show, tanking out there in California. This was a story from a couple weeks ago where we kind of thought that she dropped her representative agency, the William Morrison agency. Well, it turns out that according to an informed source familiar with the family's new deal, Michelle Wee's much ballyhooed move to management giant IMG was born of necessity, not personal choice. Wee left IMG because she was fired by her former management firm, the William Morris Agency. We last week formally announced that she had signed on with IMG, which represents several high-powered sports clients, especially in golf. And according to a highly placed source, the move began when the William Morris Agency last fall declined to sign Wee to another series of one-year contracts, which is part of the standard WMA protocol. Your thoughts, Russ?
Pat, my thought is, if William Morris is getting rid of the person who is likely going to be the face of women's golf in the future and going to be a cash cow, then she must be a pain in the butt to deal with. I mean, William Morris has got to be looking at Michelle Wee as a cash register. It's like an ATM machine. She's going to be worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. Not if she keeps playing the way she's playing this weekend in Rancho Mirage, California, but we're assuming that she won't. I think Michelle Wee, long-term, is going to be one of the faces, if not the face, of the LPGA Tour, replacing Lorena Ochoa and becoming what Annika Sorenstam was 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. If William Morris, you know, decided on their own to get rid of her, she must be really a witch to deal with. Or not just her, but perhaps her family as well.
I agree with you. I think in this economy, with the way things are going, none of these agencies can afford to just be dropping clients unless they're completely radioactive or toxic to deal with. And, you know, somebody like Michelle Wee, like you said, who has to, at some point, the talent has to overtake all of her mental goofiness and allow her to become, like you're saying, the face of the LPGA and all the money that comes with that for this agency to say, you know what, with all that probability happening, we're still getting rid of you. She, like you said, she has to be either a tremendous pain in the butt to try and deal with, or her entourage mm-hmm. is, which she will not get rid of. And maybe that's what they were trying to say. You got to get rid of these extras, or we're not going to be able to deal with you. And she still doesn't have the maturity yet to say, you know what, you're right. I don't know.
I think we agreed quite a bit this week, Pat.
We always agree, Russ, basically.
Are we still going to get the award? Is another award-winning edition of the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes?
I'm going to give it this time. Okay. I'm going to do it again.
All right. Well, we're Midas. Everything we touch turns to gold. It's, as usual, another award-winning edition of the PGA. Even though there wasn't as much discourse as usual, we still got the award. PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week here, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. This is Golf Exchange.